Welcome to the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week. I'm your host, Hank Sanders. Join us every Saturday for a deep discussion about the biggest stories of the week. Go behind the scenes with journalists, political figures, and newsmakers to get a unique look at our city. And also, I want to hear from you, the listener. So please send any questions, critiques, or sponsorship inquiries to my email at hsanders@wweek.com. Thank you so much and enjoy this episode of the Dive Podcast. Welcome back to the Dive Podcast. I'm your host, Hank Sanders. Great to have you with us today on November the 13th, episode 46 for you today. We have a great show for you. We are joined by Willamette Week news editor Aaron Mesh, and we will be discussing the governor's race. And one candidate in particular is the topic for today, Mr. Nick Kristof. More on this later on in the show. But before we get to that interview, we provide you the headlines, everything that happened this week. It's our duty to get you all caught up to speed. This is the 9-Second News Flash. Folks, Oregon's constitution requires that all casinos in the state be operated by Native American tribes. Now, the co-founder of Dutch Bros, who's not affiliated with the tribes, is looking to open up a destination resort and betting destination in Grants Pass. The Native tribes say that this would violate Oregon law, and Governor Kate Brown is catching flack for not stepping in and having the tribes back, kind of letting this go through. Speaking of Kate Brown, the governor is set to make several nominations and appointments to state positions. One of them is already getting tossed out. Jennifer Johnston was formerly a senior deputy to the city of Portland. She was a deputy city attorney for Portland. She was nominated by the governor to an 11-person panel of the Public Records Advisory Council. Johnston has since removed her name from consideration after Willamette Week published concerns about her track record with a lack of transparency at City Hall. Kind of important to have transparency when you're working on the Public Records Committee. This summer was super dry in Portland, but you may be thinking that, hey, we're going to be back on track with the recent rain that we've seen. Well, that's not the case. Even though we have seen a lot of rain in October and now November, it's still going to be one of Portland's driest years. Today's show is about Nick Kristof, but before we get to his candidacy and his interview with our paper's editors, here's a story that ran in this week's paper. Due to Kristof's work covering sex work and human trafficking as a New York Times columnist and journalist for the past several decades, some leaders in Oregon's sex work industry fear that him becoming governor would make participating in consensual sex work even harder and less safe if he were to become governor. Folks, I know it's a little bit rainy, a little bit gray out, but we have just the thing to combat that seasonal depression. Check out Pacific Crust Pizza Company. It was actually one of Willamette Week's top places to eat this week, so I picked that because, you know, I have a craving for pizza right now. Probably will get some tonight. And if you want something to drink, check out Bellwether Bar. Great cocktails, mixed drinks, really. I mean, obviously, if you're 21 or over, that's the place to be. Folks, that's our suggestions for food and drink, and those are our news stories. Thanks so much for listening. This has been the 9-Second News Flash. Folks, this week's Willamette Week cover story was an interview with Nick Kristof. Nick Kristof is the world-renowned reporter, New York Times columnist, best-selling author, and Yamhill native who recently left his position as a columnist for the New York Times to pursue running for governor of Oregon. Now, he sat down with Aaron Mesh and the editorial staff for Willamette Week and gave an hour-long interview about his plans, his candidacy, why he's running. I got to sit down with Aaron Mesh and get his opinion on how that interview went, his takeaways, Nick Kristof, the candidate, and we get to have him on the show to tell you his thoughts. Take a listen. So, Aaron, before we get into it, let's just start with this. Can Nick Kristof run for governor? I know there was discussion about concern over where he's voting, where he's lived over the past couple of years. Is he allowed to run?
Yeah, that's an open question. So, back when he first floated the idea of running for governor a few months back, he hired a lawyer from a white shoe law firm in Portland who he commissioned to put out a 15-page legal opinion that says he definitely qualifies to run. The thing that makes people think he doesn't qualify to run is that he voted in New York in 2020. which is a problem because the Oregon Constitution says that anyone running for governor to be elected governor or to serve as governor has to have lived in the state for the previous 3 years. And only residents of New York can vote in New York. So there seems to be a contradiction there. The lawyer he hired put out from Perkins Coie, I believe, put out a 15-page memo that says, it's fine, that's not a problem. And then also for some reason at the end argues that he's definitely an Oregonian because he really enjoys eating at Moe's Chowder. It does. It literally says, it's in fairness, that's not part of the legal argument. It's just a little rhetorical flourish at the end where it says, like, he is a true Oregonian. He laughs with his friends. He goes to Ducks games. He enjoys Moe's Chowder, which I really find the Moe's Chowder reference is the one that that delights me every time I think on it.
But the problem is, Aaron, like, can he run? I know there's, like you talked about, the discussion. That's great to talk about. But actually, can he physically run?
We'll know that as soon as someone challenges it legally. So this lawyer has put out this opinion saying it's fine. Nobody look this way. Everybody look the other way. And someone is going to challenge it. My guess is that it will be someone from organized labor. If I had to put money on it, it'll be somebody from SEIU. We'll challenge this with a lawsuit in court. And then all the lawyers will get in a room and a judge will say, is Nick Kristoff a resident of Oregon? My guess is that will happen by the end of January.
Interesting. So we'll look forward to that. Now, moving on to the interview and the candidate, Nick Kristoff. The interview, the article, everyone talks about his book that he's written about Yamhill and Oregon, going on and on about how people, his classmates, have died based on failures from the state. Did you talk to him at all about when this idea for running for Oregon came to him? Did it come to him when he was working on this book that seemed like, you know, years of research on why to run for governor?
Great question. I know that it was in the list of 40 or so draft questions we had before walking into the room. I don't remember if we ever actually asked the question. I think we didn't. Of how long he'd been mulling this idea. It's possible we asked the question and then he dodged it. Like he was not always answering the questions that we asked as we asked them. So sometimes he was answering a different question, which is a classic politician's move. He's moved from being a columnist to a politician so rapidly. He's growing up so fast.
It's beautiful to see, it really is. So you spend an hour with him and you're, I guess, subheadline was that he still lacks clarity on his mission and goals. Why did you say this? Why did Willamette Week say this?
I still have no idea why he's running for governor. I mean, that's a nice way of saying it, right? He's an enigma. He's a mystery. But that also means, like, he's just very confusing. And look, he's a novice politician who has spent most of his life observing and criticizing, as journalists do. I'm not obligated as the editor of a newspaper to have any solutions to any problems. There's a school of thought called solutions journalism that says that newspapers and TV stations and other publications should produce ideas that can make the state better. I often refer to myself as a problems journalist. I have no solutions. I can just tell you what's not working. Nick Kristoff has spent most of his life telling people what's not working. And now it's his task to tell people how he would make things better. So far his campaign essentially consists of sort of a two-step, maybe three-pronged approach, which is one, Oregon is deeply broken. Two, hire Nick Kristoff. And then three, everything will be fine. I don't know that he's offered that many solutions so far that say what he thinks he would do differently. In fact, a lot of the things he described, and we kept pressing him on this in the interview, it's a repeated theme in the interview. A lot of the solutions that he described sound like the same policy proposals that got us into the problems in the first place. So here's a guy who says like that housing and homelessness in this state are deeply broken, that it is a shame and a disaster that that Kate Brown and by proxy Tina Kotek haven't done more to get people off the streets. And yet I don't see a policy solution that he's proposing that's practically different from what they've done.
Do you think that there are any things, any columns that he's written, any books, any passage that he's written that he's regretting now, given that he's running for governor? Anything that's going to open him up for critique over the past couple of decades?
I think he's going to struggle with a number of his positions that he's taken around two powder keg issues. So race and sex. It's always race and sex, right? So like, I think that there are passages around race, and I won't like point to any in particular, but around policing and race, around racial profiling, around 9/11, I think you're going to see some of that come up, because when a white man runs for office in the year 2021, there's going to be scrutiny of whether or not he passes some sniff tests. And I think that he may have some trouble with that. I think one of the areas that we spent a little time on in this week's paper, because I think it will be a repeated theme of this campaign, is that Kristoff has spent a decent portion of his media capital fighting sex trafficking globally and also in the US. But that places him in a position where he disagrees pretty strongly with the advocates who are seeking to decriminalize sex work in Oregon, which could be on the ballot at the same time that Kristoff is on the ballot. You've done an episode on this a few weeks ago around the Dave Hunt and sex workers in Portland feeling persecuted by the police. There's a real divide among sex workers whether or not anti-trafficking efforts make them safer, or in fact, I mean, maybe it's not even fair to call it a divide, just a major backlash from sex workers that that these protectionist efforts to keep people from being exploited are in fact reducing their earning potential and criminalizing their work. Kristoff has clearly taken a side in that and is the police's side.
Yeah, there was a funny part in the interview, in the article, and it's about this. And in his defense, I don't think he could have seen this question coming. But basically, you asked him why he thinks he could solve the issues that he's talking about. And he basically said, like we've talked about, well, I'm a journalist, so I've reported on it. Do you think that those skills transfer over? We've talked about in Oregon's history, we've had a journalist turned governor. Do you think that can transfer over for him?
I think there are aspects of it that can. I don't want to just say that like there's no overlap between doing reporting and doing and making change and finding solutions. Like the area in which there's overlap is that you just have to, in both cases, you have to strategize and make decisions about what you're going to emphasize and what you're going to de-emphasize. Like, you know, as an editor, when I moved into a management position 5 years ago, I found the management side of this business to be overwhelming, and I manage four people, so I think he's going to find that managing a state the size of Oregon is very different than writing a column or writing a book or writing anything. I don't want to just be glib and say that like there's no way in which those two things can overlap, because there is, in writing and reporting, work of strategy and deciding what matters to you and deciding what doesn't. Essentially, that work is editing, and the degree to which Nick Kristoff is a good editor might actually impact whether he could be a good politician.
Yeah, you know, one thing that he talked about and something that I felt like was refreshing about him was the idea that as a writer, as a journalist, you're telling stories and you're telling a vision in a book or a column or an article. And I think that our state kind of needs somebody who can go up there. I feel like Kate Brown has struggled to be like, hey, here's where Oregon's going to go in 4 years under me. This is what we're going to do. This is the next hill we're going to take. Do you think that people like me are over putting too much emphasis the importance of having a governor who can speak coherently, speak cogently, and that we really just kind of need another policy wonk who can get shit done?
Oh, I think that charisma and eloquence are important. So I think that that you can look at the struggles of Kate Brown compared to Jay Inslee in Washington and her supporters chalk all of it up to sexism, but you can chalk some of it up to charisma and eloquence. that Inslee has done a better job of explaining to people why it is that we're doing the things that we're doing to get through COVID. And Brown has struggled with delivering that message. So having a writer in some ways could be useful. That writer needs to also have a certain amount of charisma, like a personality that causes people to pay attention. And Nick Kristof would like to think that he will be the next Tom McCall. Tom McCall is the television journalist who then went on to be a Republican governor in Oregon. He's a legend in this state, rightly so, as someone who put principle above partisan politics, who made decisions that most Republicans wouldn't recognize as being terribly GOP. Huge environmental advocate. He's the reason that we don't have condos on our beaches and why we have bottle returns at grocery stores. And so I think Nick would like to be Tom McCall. I would like to be Dan Marino. And everyone wants to be someone they grew up idolizing. I have not seen the kind of magnetic personality, at least in the first hour around Nick Kristof, that people would remember from Tom McCall.
Yeah. One of my favorite parts of the interview was when you were asking him a question, or you were asking kind of spitfire questions about policy issues. And one of them was about if grocery stores should be able to sell alcohol. And he said, quote, "I'm still thinking about that." I think that a lot of politicians would be hesitant to just, you know, say, "I'm thinking about an issue." I feel like every politician has to have an answer about everything.
I disagree with that. Every politician who comes into our office for an endorsement interview, at least one question, they say that they're still thinking about it.
Got it. Never mind.
Which is just code for I've never thought about it.
Okay. Sounds good. Moving on.
No, I think it's a good question. Like, I wouldn't even mind that being in the audio. Like, it's
okay.
Meaningful, right? Like,
yeah.
They come in and they say, "I'm still thinking about that," but it never means that. It means I don't know.
Okay. Fair enough. A lot of money has been raised. You know, he's raising more money. Let me restart. You know, Kristof in the tallies is far ahead in the amount of money that he's raised over $1 million in just a few days. But a lot of it's out of state, a lot of out of state money. You've talked about Melinda Gates, other, you know, out of state ventures. Does that concern you as somebody who has seen a lot of people running for governor or running for different offices? Is that kind of a red flag to you as somebody who's tracked a lot of elections in the past?
Traditionally, we see more out-of-state money pour into Oregon around ballot measures. Measure 97, the corporate tax, drew a huge amount of money to defeat it, in part because of the desire to make sure it wouldn't create a blueprint for other states to figure out how to tax businesses. I think it is unusual to see Angelina Jolie's foundation name show up in the financial disclosures. It's odd to see Diana von Furstenberg and Larry Summers. I think it speaks to the world in which Nick Kristof has spent his time circulating. And I think it shows the degree to which, like, he has a very difficult pivot here, that he has to portray himself as a farmer and a man of the people and a down-to-earth guy. And it's not so clear to me that this down-to-earth guy actually knows very many Oregonians or spends a lot of time farming. It feels a lot like this is a guy who spent a lot more time at charity balls. And I do think that's going to be a problem. There's a huge, huge opportunity here. People really don't like incumbents right now. Like, Oregonians are extremely bitter toward the political power structure for the state of the state.
Well, folks, that's our show. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Dive Podcast. For Willamette Week, I'm Hank Sanders. Take care. We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week. For more information on this podcast or the biggest stories in Portland, go to wweek.com and follow Willamette Week on all socials. We're doing some really cool things related to the podcast on our Instagram and Twitter. Includes giveaways, behind the scenes, etc. A lot of cool things coming your way, so give those a follow. Special thanks to our guests for joining us, and thank you to Aaron Mesh, Mark Zussman, and Brian Panganibon, as well as the entire Willamette Week family. Last but not least, thank you so much to Heather Witte and AmpMusic.co for the music that you hear on this podcast. For Willamette Week, I'm Hank Sanders. This has been the Dive Podcast.